This morning I'd like to read the resurrection account from John's Gospel, particularly that part that describes the grief of Mary Magdalene as she wept at the empty tomb. I want to take my time reading it so you may have the opportunity not just to hear the words, but to enter into her sorrow, to put yourself in Mary's place, that you might feel what she may have felt as she faced the reality of the death of Jesus Christ, the one who had done so much to heal her. We don't know a lot about Mary. Our imagination tries to fill out the details of our unanswered questions. But there's really no need for us to do so. The less we know of her, the more she represents everybody. We first meet Mary in Luke chapter 8, where we are told Jesus went through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Have you ever experienced a suffering or a grief that you thought would never end? If so, then you can relate to Mary, regardless of her background. We don't know how the demons manifested themselves in Mary, whether they made her blind or deaf, like some did, or caused her to fall into seizures, like some did. We may not know the details, but we're familiar with the condition. We're just not familiar with the diagnosis. Our scientific age doesn't believe in such things as demon possession. It's enough to say that she was suffering from a terminal condition when Jesus met her and brought her out of the prison of a living death, and ever since she had journeyed with him, helping to provide for the monetary needs of Jesus and the disciples, along with Joanna and Susanna and many others. And now the one who had saved them was himself killed. And that by his own people. Sounds like what our leaders are doing with our country. All of Mary's hopes and dreams, all her hope laid dead in the tomb. Except that the source of her hope was not in the tomb. It appeared as though, in one final act of hatred, his enemies had stolen his body and robbed her even of the opportunity to properly grieve his death. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then they went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know it was him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And then he had said these things to her. So we see that Mary had gone to the tomb and had seen that it was empty, but she didn't know why. She ran to tell the disciples that the tomb was empty and his body was gone. Then she returned to the empty tomb. Why? Why go back to a scene of such grief and sorrow? She could grieve anywhere. Why did she go back to the empty tomb? I suppose it's because she was lost and didn't know where else to go. The healer who had redefined her life had been taken from the world just as it seemed he was about to come into his glory. She didn't understand that. From the heights of hope, she'd been thrown into a pit of despair. And now she couldn't even kneel beside his grave and grieve because he wasn't there. So she goes back to the last place where she knows that he was, the empty tomb. And isn't that often the case in our despair? We go back to the place where all of our hopes were dashed. A mother grieves by the grave of her child who's been taken from her by cancer or an accident or a tragedy. A husband kneels beside a picture of his wife of 50 years who is no longer with him. A family returns to the empty lot where once their house stood before it was devastated by a fire or blown away by a tornado, or washed away by a flood. Why do we do this? Maybe we're hoping against hope that it was all a bad dream, and we'll find that the tragedy never really happened. Maybe we're simply standing or kneeling at the place where we feel that our life has ended. And there's simply no reason to go on. Remember that song from the 50s? "Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye." And sometimes They didn't even have a chance to say goodbye. Maybe something inside of us realizes there's a part of us at least that was paralyzed by this tragedy, whatever it was, and has yet to be fully healed. Whatever the reason, Mary Magdalene found herself back at the empty tomb, seeing it not as a sign of hope, but as a symbol of deepest grief. Then Jesus appeared, and yet she didn't know. He stood in her presence, and yet she did not see him. He spoke to her, and yet she did not hear, didn't recognize that voice that had commanded her tormenting demons to depart from her. Now his voice was bidding her grief to depart, but she couldn't hear, and she couldn't let go of her grief. Her grief would not submit to his command. It was still so powerful, its reality so blinding, its cries so deafening, that she couldn't see the one in front of her, couldn't hear the hope that he brought to her, couldn't receive the love that he had for her. And then he spoke her name. All the words he had said before passed by her without notice. But then he said, "Mary," a single word, not a command, not a reprimand, a simple name. One that she had heard, even from him, countless times. A name that several of the other women had. But he wasn't calling to them. This time, that simple word and the love and truth that spoke it broke through the darkness of her grief and brought with it a hope she had not dared to believe was even possible. She had come to the tomb to grieve, but hope had come to the grave to celebrate. And by that grave, hope waited until she was ready. And as she grieved, as she let her heart feel the full weight of her sadness and broken dreams, she did not realize that it was her grief, the same grief that blinded and deafened her to her Lord, that same grief allowed to express itself, was preparing her heart to be healed, making her able to see, ready to hear. And when she was ready, hope spoke her name. And finally, she heard. And hearing, she looked up and saw the hope that had been with her all along, the hope that had given her the courage and the space to grieve, the hope that proved stronger than her grief and more lasting than her pain. Sometimes hope is like that. It waits for us to be ready to receive it. And often it waits for us in the very place where our grief is the deepest and our pain the strongest. And until we let ourselves grieve, we can be in the very presence of hope, as Mary was, and not see. And we can hear the voice of hope, as Mary did, and not recognize or receive the comfort that it speaks. Mary was lucky. Her grief only lasted 3 days. The families of the victims of the terror attack in Israel on October 7th have been grieving for 186 days. And we have been praying ever since that somehow hope would remain for the hostages who are still alive, in spite of whatever terror they may be living each day. What have you been grieving over? Or maybe a better question is, what do you need to grieve over? We all carry grief in our hearts. One cannot live in this world very long before experiencing the loss of hope, the death of love, the end of dreams. What do you do when all hope is lost, all joy taken from you? If you're brave enough, you grieve. And sometimes your grief will prepare you for a hope that still remains. A hope that may be standing right in front of you, even when you can't see it. A hope that speaks to you, even when you don't recognize its voice. And sometimes, after grief has had its day, or its month, or its season, or its time, without even realizing it, your heart is finally ready to hear the hope that speaks your name. Jesus once said, "Blessed are they who mourn. They will hear the voice of hope." Hope may shout to them and they not hear because they're not ready. They haven't grieved honestly enough or long enough. Then one day, hope will not shout. It will simply whisper their name in love. And finally, they will hear, and hope will return. And we will realize that it was the mercy and love of our Father God who was with us all along, enabling us to grieve, giving us the courage to grieve, knowing that, in a strange way, grief breathes its own hope when God is there. And God knows your name, and God calls you by name when he knows you're ready and able to hear. He comes to us with a hope that no grief can destroy and no tragedy remove. A hope that lasts beyond the darkness of grief, beyond the finality of death. A hope that endures, because the hope is in Him. The hope is Him. Sometimes hope is hard to see. And sometimes it takes us more than 3 days to see it. But hope knows our name. And hope calls to us. And hope will be heard. Heavenly Father, thank you for a hope that is stronger than death, because it comes from a love that is stronger than death. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for a family of fellow grievers and fellow hopers who encourage us in our time of grieving. Through Christ we pray. Amen.